If you have a Bible, I'd like you to join us in 2 Chronicles 30 and 31. We're going to start in 31. We're going to back up to chapter 30. But I want us to see that praise is a motivator. In the Bible, I told the kids a story about the wall that they built. They stood up on that side and jumped up and down and praised God on a wall that they said a fox would knock it down. And they showed, watch us. And they just praised God. And when they did, they were motivated to serve God. And we're going to look at the people here who did the same thing. Well, let's start. We'll just read the passage first. It says in chapter 31, and by the way, if you're about a fourth of the way into your Bible, all the first and seconds are together, and the last one of those is 2 Chronicles. Okay, before Psalms and Job. He says in 31 verse 1, it says, when all this had ended, the Israelites who were there went out to the towns of Judah. They smashed the sacred stones. They cut down the idolatrous Asherah poles. They destroyed the high places and the altars throughout Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim and Manasseh. After they had destroyed all of them, the Israelites returned to their own towns and their own property. Okay? These men are celebrated by, devoted by their praise and their celebration. The reforms of good King Hezekiah were accomplished not by Hezekiah alone. This is all the people. When all the people left, they went out and they destroyed all the idolatrous altars and Asherah poles and high places because they were going to serve the Lord. And so he couldn't get this done by himself. It was everybody doing it. And everybody that did it did that before they even went home. Now, what purifying of Israel was accomplished voluntarily? Nobody told them, you guys have to go do this before you go home. They just went out and did it. Nobody told them they had to. They did it because they wanted to. And they did it before they went home, right? We just read that. Before they went home, they went out and destroyed all this stuff. Now, notice, what should we learn from the phrase, when all this had ended? When all this had ended. Well, what had just ended? Read chapter 30, which we're going to read parts of. In chapter 30, they have a two-week-long party. For 2 weeks, they are praising God and thanking God for everything they did. When all this is ended, they went and did this. Huh. Does celebration and praise motivate behavior? Okay. I met this cute little girl. I spent time with her and loved her. Before I knew it, I just wanted to spend the rest of my life loving her. Right? When you celebrate and praise, it motivates behavior, doesn't it? Does it do it with God? If it's not doing it with God, you have a praise and celebration problem. We need to learn to praise God more. I've told a lot of people the story. I love the story. One of our former elders where I preached, his daughter, he's black, and his daughter painted our baptistry scene. Beautiful baptistry scene. It had these white billowy clouds and all these silhouettes of people just rejoicing. You know how it says in Luke 15, verse 7, that there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents, okay? And so they're all rejoicing up there, and they're jumping up and down. And then there's this stream of light that comes down. There's this dove with a olive branch in his mouth, and the streams of light that come down to the baptistry. Really cool picture, all right? But I was picking on Heather, his daughter, and I said, Heather, all those people up there on the clouds, they're all black. Well, they were silhouettes, you know. But I'm picking on her. I says, they're all black. She says, well, there's white people up there, but they're sitting on their hands. Okay? Okay? We have a celebration problem, don't we? We're afraid to celebrate. Guys, did somebody die on the cross for your sins? Was he separated from God for your sins? Okay? What song did we sing before communion? Joy to the world!
You can't sing joy to the world. You have to wait for December to sing that.
No, you don't. Okay, Jesus had the Last Supper on a Thursday night, right? He was crucified on a Friday. On Saturday, he's in the tomb. What happened Sunday morning? He comes forth from the dead. He's rejoicing. He's victorious. What day do we commune? Joy to the world. We come forth. He came forth on a Sunday morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Okay? If we can't rejoice, what's it mean to us? Okay? If it's not worth rejoicing about, it's not worth living for. When all this 2 weeks of rejoicing had ended, they went out and they changed their world. Right? Guys, we got reason to change our world. Let's start back in chapter 30. The Passover was celebrated perfectly in all the wrong ways. Okay? Let me show you what I mean by that. There's a few things wrong in the way they celebrate the Passover. If you're in chapter 30 with me, follow along. In verse 2, it says, the king and the officials and the whole assembly in Jerusalem decided to celebrate the Passover in the second month. Wait a minute. If you go back to Exodus chapter 12, it's supposed to be celebrated in the first month. If you go back to Leviticus, it's supposed to be celebrated in the first month. They weren't ready in the first month, so they decided to do it in the second month. So they're celebrating the Passover at the wrong time, right? Huh. Now, let's go on a little further. Still in chapter 30, look at verse 11. He's nevertheless, some of the men from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and went to Jerusalem. Okay? But it tells us, down in verse 15, the priests and the Levites were ashamed. They consecrated themselves. They brought the burnt offerings. They hadn't been consecrated and purified before this happened. And look at verse 17. Since many in the crowd had not consecrated themselves, the Levites had to do the killing of the Passover lamb because all those who were not ceremonially clean couldn't consecrate the lambs to the Lord. In other words, the people were supposed to be prepared and consecrated and have devoted themselves to God before the celebration happened, and they hadn't, so the Levites did it for them. And the priests weren't all ready, so the Levites did that for them because the Levites had been more careful and the others hadn't. So we got the wrong priests doing it. The people aren't... we've got a few problems here with this, right? And then, when they get done with that, look in verse 23. It says, the whole assembly then agreed to celebrate the festival for 7 more days. So for another 7 days, they celebrated joyfully. Okay? Now look at verse 19. Back up to verse 19. He says, in verse 18, but Hezekiah prayed, saying, may the Lord who is good pardon everyone, verse 19, who sets his heart on seeking God, the Lord, the God of his fathers, even if he's not clean according to the rules of the sanctuary. Verse 20, and the Lord heard Hezekiah's prayer and healed the people. We got people from up in Israel that haven't even been worshiping God, but some of them humbled themselves and came down, but they weren't prepared to eat the Passover. They hadn't cleansed themselves to partake of the Passover. There's certain Jewish rules that they were supposed to cleanse themselves. They hadn't done that. So the Levites helped them out and took care of it for them. And then the other things they haven't done right, and their hearts not. And so finally Hezekiah says, Lord, I know they're messing up. I know they're not doing it the right way, but their heart's in the right place. God, please forgive them anyway. Right? That's his prayer in verse 19. And in verse 20, God says, okay. And he forgives them. And he heals them. And they're praising God. Whoa! Okay? Have they done a few things in the wrong way? But what's perfectly right? Perfectly right about the way they're doing things the wrong way. Okay? Look at verse 25 through 27. It says, then the whole assembly agreed to celebrate the festival 7 more days. So for another 7 days, they celebrate joyfully. And Hezekiah, the king of Judah, provided 1,000 bulls, 7,000 sheep and goats for the assembly. And the officials provide them with 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep and goats. And a great number of priests consecrated themselves. And the entire assembly of Judah rejoiced. Sorry, I got started up in verse 23. I got started and couldn't stop. Verse 25. The entire assembly of Judah rejoiced along with the priests and the Levites and all who had assembled from Israel, including the aliens who had come up from Israel, those who lived in Judah. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the days of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. The priests and the Levites stood to bless the people, and God heard them, for their prayer reached heaven, his holy dwelling place. Did they do some things wrong? Was God pleased with what they did? Have we done some things maybe in the wrong way? Is our heart devoted to God to the point that he is pleased with what we do? Guys, he's amazing. He cried out on the cross, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because if he's not separated from God for my sin, I have to be. The Lord's arm isn't short that he can't save, nor is his ear heavy that he can't hear. But your sins have separated between you and God, and your iniquities have hidden his face from you. God can't look on sin, so he has to turn his back. And Jesus takes it. And I say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we praise him. And on Sunday morning, he bursts forth from the grave by the power of a sinless, incorruptible life. And so on every Lord's Day, we commune. And the communion was never intended to be a memorial. Okay? It doesn't say that in there. But you see, what happened is, in church history, there are other religions who decided that on that first day of the week, on the communion, that the priest literally sacrifices the body and blood of Christ again. You don't sacrifice the body of blood in Christ again. You remember the sacrifice he made, and you remember the body because of the sacrifice he made. We, which are many, are one body, for we all partake of the one bread, right? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. Okay? We are that one body. There's a binding together in the communion feast. So, they celebrated, and when they celebrated, were their lives different? Was their devotion increased? Okay, back to verse 1 of chapter 31. That's our text for today. Their devotion had been motivated by celebration and praise. All that cleansing of idolatry from Israel, notice where they did it from. Okay, go back here. It says, All the people there, they went out to the towns of Judah. They smashed the sacred stones. They cut down the Asherah poles. They destroyed the high places, the altars throughout Judah, throughout Benjamin, throughout Ephraim, throughout Manasseh. Okay. I thought the northern 10 tribes were carried away into captivity and but these guys are going to clean out the whole thing. They destroyed idolatry in Judah, in Benjamin, in Ephraim, in Manasseh. They kept spreading through the whole region, trying to get idolatry out of Israel. But he's the king of Judah. He's not even the king of Israel. He's just the king of Judah. Yeah. He wants all of God's people. Whatever you can do with any group of people to encourage them to walk closer to God, you do it. And you don't do it because you have to. Well, I'm Christian. I'm supposed to tell people about Jesus. No! You do it because he's amazing and you're amazed. You do it because you're celebrating the wonder of Christ. And when you're celebrating the wonder of Christ, who do you want to tell about it? Okay? You want to tell anybody because you're amazed. How many people, if you're a sports guy, have you talked to about Ohio State beating Oregon and Alabama and Wisconsin and whoever all else? Well, yeah. We go, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you notice, the Cleveland Indians fans were not talking a lot this week. Okay? Sorry about that. But Jesus is raised from the dead. That's way better than any lousy ball team. Jesus is raised from the dead. You share the good news. And so because you're celebrating, you're motivated to want to serve in other ways, right? When me and my wife are doing real well, I do whatever I can for her. If I think she's grumpy and upset with me, I have a hard time. She thinks I'm grumpy and upset with her, she has a hard time. Okay, what if you absolutely love each other? Then you do whatever you can. You knock yourself out to bless the other one, right? Guess what happens in Christianity? If you are amazed with Jesus, you knock yourself out wanting to serve Him. And if you're not knocking yourself out wanting to serve Him, you might want to talk about how amazing He is. To understand that so that we can be motivated by it. Why would Israel eagerly destroy idolatry before they even went home? Because they wanted to. Why'd they want to? They thought God was amazing. They'd been celebrating God for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, their prayers are going up as a memorial to God. For 2 weeks, God, their prayers go to heaven. And God's pleased with them. Now, how does joy motivate devotion? Well, let's try it another way. What would devotion be like without joy?
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to read my Bible this morning. Yeah, I got to read 3 chapters. If I don't, you know, we're going to get through to Revelation.
You know, it's not a got-to thing. The got-to covenant was nailed to the cross. You live under the get-to covenant. Act like it. Okay? Now, we have all been repeatedly called upon to rejoice. We say, Jack, you're just preaching out of the Old Testament. We're not living under that covenant. Okay? Let's go to the new covenant. Philippians. That's all the little bitty letters right after Acts and Romans. Okay? Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, GEPC, General Electric Power Company, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians. Okay? In Philippians, Paul is in chains. And in chains, Paul, 16 times in chains, says, rejoice, have joy, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near. He keeps talking to them about joy. All 16 times in this book, he tells them to rejoice. If you were in prison and you were writing a letter to somebody, would you be telling them to rejoice? Or would you say, hey, pray that I get out of this place? That's not his prayer. His prayer is, guys, Jesus is amazing. Yeah, you're changed up. Yeah, I know, but that's just my body. I'm free in Christ. I'm free in Christ. Whatever happens to my body, just my body. I'm free in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now let's go to chapter 2. Like I said, there's 16 different places we could go at. We're just going to go to this one. And we're going to go to this one because this one takes joy and puts it with service. Look at verse 17 and 18. All right. He says, sorry, I gotta get my foot. Here we go. He says, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering, like I said, he's chained up. He's gonna die, but he's not gonna die on this one. He's gonna die on the next one. Okay? After 2 Timothy 1. It says, but even after I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. He says, guys, I'm chained up. He says, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. He says, your service, your joy are both affecting me. He says, they are a joy. Are they rejoicing? He says, yeah. He says, you guys are rejoicing, but I want you rejoicing more. You guys are serving, but if you'll rejoice more, you'll serve more. And that's true, isn't it? When you want to bless somebody, you do whatever you can, knock yourself out to bless them, right? Because you love them. You just do it because you love them. And you do whatever you can just to please them. That's the way we're supposed to serve Jesus. It's not drudgery. You know, we walk around like, you know, the Puritans just, I'm thrilled sick about being a Christian. You know? Look like we've been weaned on a sour pickle. Okay? That's not it. 16 times in this book, he says, you guys rejoice. You're saved by Christ. Act like it. You're going home to heaven. Act like it. And if you have that joy, what are you going to want to do?
Yeah, all these wonderful things happen in my life, but I don't really want to share that with you.
Would we do that in anything else? I mean, if you find green beans are 69 cents a pound, you're going to tell everybody. If you find gas down to 226 over at Southern, if you use your card, you know, that's pretty good too, you know.
We'll share that stuff. How does that compare to Jesus died on the cross for your sins and is going to give you eternal life in Him?
That's pretty good news. That's way better than 69 cents a pound, isn't it? That's better than $1.99 a gallon. That's good news. Okay? We need to make sure that we have a joy that serves. And that's what He calls them to. He mentions their serving in contact with their joy. So, what's going to help us develop a contagious joy?
You know people that just have it?
You know, you're on a political campaign and all these guys are just cheering for their guy. You're at a sports thing and all these guys are all painted up with scarlet and gray, because we don't do maize and blue. Oh, sorry. Okay, no. But I'm saying they're all rejoicing in whatever. Why are they all excited about that? And when they are excited about that, does it affect the people around them?
How do we get excited about that and then sit here on Sunday and we sing praises to God and we sit there like this?
And the people around us are singing praises to God and we're
singing, joy to the world, the Lord is come.
The story I told the kids this morning in Nehemiah chapter 12, when they finished that wall after 52 days of working their tails off trying to get that done, they stood up on the wall and sang praises until their voice was heard far away.
How far away is your voice heard?
Oh, Jack, you don't know how bad I hit those notes.
Oh, I know Sister Foraker.
Y'all don't know Sister Foraker.
When in a church where I used to be hired to be their song leader, which I thought was weird. But anyway, I would lead singing there, and she came up and she says, Jack, she says, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I can't sing worth a hoot, she says, but I can make a joyful noise to the Lord. And she did, and it was unusual. Okay? But she did, and she would sing, and we would drown her out. And together it was wonderful. Because God never said, sing with the melody and the harmony. He said, sing with the spirit and the understanding. You realize, wait, joy, there is joy to the world. There is reason to rejoice in Christ. He was raised from the dead. I am going to heaven. I do have people that I'd like to talk to about that because I want them going. Who do you know who's not yet in Christ? Love them into the kingdom of God. Okay? Rejoice. You want a contagious joy? You keep looking at Jesus and it gets so good you can't stand it. Now, when we rejoice as we should, we will also be motivated to service. Back it up to Acts chapter 5. Peter and John and all 12 of the apostles in Acts 5 have just been arrested. They were thrown in prison. By the way, we have found the prison house of Caiaphas. Archaeologically. It's really cool. It's great, great, great stuff on it. Anyway, so we know where these guys are locked up. When we rejoice as we should, we're motivated to service. Let's read Acts 5, 41 and 42. He says, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they'd been counted worthy to suffer disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Did these guys have problems in their lives? Yeah, they got arrested. Are they rejoicing? Yeah, they're rejoicing. When they're rejoicing, what did they do? Verse 42. They never stopped
telling others about how amazing Jesus was, right? What happens if we stop telling others how amazing Jesus is? Well, that means we must have something more important to talk about. The God of heaven humbled himself, came to the earth as a man, let them mock him, beat him, nail him to a cross. He was bodily raised from the dead to give you and me eternal life. What do you have more important to talk about than that? Well, it might rain Tuesday. No! Well, you know, if you know, with these two quarterbacks and Braxton becoming a running back, we could have a really good... No! What's the most important thing you can talk about? Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose, and he's coming back. Okay? We've got something. So, guys, let's rejoice in what we have to the point that it's contagious. Early church did that. When they looked at Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the guys in Sanhedrin, verse 13, they looked at him and said, hey, these guys don't have any little tassels on the end of their robe. They haven't been to any rabbinic schools. So they're ignorant, unlearned men. But we can tell by the way they're talking, we can tell that they spent time with Jesus. Right? Do you have that kind of boldness and courage and joy in Christ that people can tell you've been hanging around Jesus? That celebration, that's what it is. That's who we are. That's what we do. So, what reasons do we have to rejoice? Oh, well, you know. I get to go to heaven. You get to go to heaven. When my heart condemns me, God is greater than our hearts, right? 1 John 3:16. Okay? He's greater than our hearts. Nope. It's 3:17. It's after that. Okay. What will godly rejoicing do in our lives? Well, for starters, Christianity's not mundane. You get to serve Christ. You don't got to serve Christ. You get to serve Christ. I could tell the people about him. Okay, who do you most admire in the world? In the flesh, right now. I mean, whoever it is. Sports, TV, movies, whatever it is. Military. If that person came by your house to visit you, if you sat down and ate dinner with them, would you tell anybody? My mom's oldest sister during World War II was a secretary to Eleanor Roosevelt. 40 years later, you could not talk to her for 10 minutes without learning that she had lunch with Eleanor Roosevelt. Okay? Why? Because she met somebody impressive. Yeah? Well, I met somebody more impressive, and his name's Jesus, and I need to act like it. Okay. So the lesson aim this morning is pretty simple. We need to develop, then we need to share a genuine, contagious joy. Guys, he's raised. He's coming back. How eagerly do we approach Christian service? Well, you know, it's my month to clean the building. Well, it's my month to help, you know, it's my week to help mow the lawn. Well, I'm supposed to teach Bible class this quarter. Guys, you get to talk to people about God. You get to talk to little children about God. You get to write them cards, call them on the phone, tell them how awesome they are in Bible class. You get to talk to their parents, encourage them, whatever it is, okay? How could more attention to celebration and praise, how would that increase our devotion? Guys, when we sing, I got one for you. Sing! Okay? Oh, joy to the world. No, you sing praises to God. Now, what changes need to be made by all the people of God? No, we don't have altars and Asherah poles to tear down. But we've got things in our lives. We need to rearrange the way we spend our times. We need to shut off some of our electronic devices or else use them to spread the gospel. Facebook is really good for praying for people. It's really good about encouraging people to walk closer to God. Let's use it for that. Sound fair? If you're going to use it for good stuff. I love the stuff Cody puts on there and others put on there. Use it for good and noble purposes. And in person, talk to people. They need love with skin on it. You're supposed to be that. Now, how could you do a better job of praising and celebrating Jesus? You know how you dig a ditch? You just do it. You know how you celebrate? You start realizing, wait a minute. I really was lost. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2. And I'm alive. And I didn't deserve that. I got that by grace. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Then sing like you believe, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise Him like you believe, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, do you desire a contagious joy in Christ? If I get so excited about Jesus, all my friends are going to think I'm a little unusual. Guys, we're a peculiar people. I read that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We're not like everybody else. We're a little different. Act like it. Don't be afraid to act like it. We are a people for God's own possession. And when they saw Peter, they said, hey, he's been acting like Jesus. He must have been hanging around Jesus. That's the way we're supposed to live. That's what Christianity is. So, do you really desire that? If you really desire that, I got a question. How can we help you? If you're not yet in Christ, Ren would like to be a big brother, just like Todd is. Okay, Todd's a big brother. He's got a new brother in Christ. Ren wants a new little brother or sister. Okay? And if you're not yet born in Christ, please make that decision to die to yourself, be born in Christ. If you've already been born in Christ and you need us to pray with you about something, whatever your need might be, we invite you. Please come while we stand and while we sing.